It says, the Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is with, where? Within me. My integrity that's within me. God has a meter, and when we stand before God and we stand on his integrity meter, it will let us know where we're at. Are we really a person of integrity?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2.
That if Satan came, there's nothing that he would have a handle to grab a hold on to. Is that true of your life? See, that's why I say it. Integrity means what? That you are without taint in conscious character and conduct. So are you sitting here today as an individual that if Satan came to your life, that there would be something he could grab a hold on to? Would to God that we would all be like this pulpit. That if you try to grab this pulpit, there's nothing. There's nothing you can hold on to. And would to God that all of our lives, and I pray especially for my life, that, Lord, if the devil was to come and try to grab a handle on some evil that he could run with in my life, that he would not be able to hold on to it. I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? I'm afraid to be unfaithful. You know why I'm afraid? I'm afraid, first of all, because I don't want to disappoint God. I'm afraid, second of all, because I know that it would disqualify for me to preach his word. And I'm afraid because I'm not know my wife, man. I'd be in my grave. I'm afraid. And I love my wife too much, you know, to do that. I mean, my wife just in every way meets, and I thank God for her. She, you know, meets my needs in every way. So I don't have to try to wander off or anything like that. But you know, I just look at a lot of people, man, that, you know, if you were to come, I mean, look at these politicians. And you come to find out all this stuff years later about things that they were doing and things that they were into. And here they were, you know, one guy could have been the president of the United States. And he had all this stuff going on. And nobody knew about it at the time, except for a few people. But if Satan was to come in his life at that time, he would have had a handle. There would have been something that he was able to grab a hold on to. And so I pray. I pray for every Bethany member. I pray in the morning for Bethany. And I say, God, be with the members of this church. And Lord, protect them and keep them safe, Lord, and keep them with a good testimony. And that if Satan was to come and try to grab a handle on their life, there's nothing that he would be able to grab a hold onto. And that's what David is saying here in verses 4 through 6. He said, I have not put myself in a position, or I have not done things that if the enemy was to come and try to grab a hold on me, there would be nothing that he could grab a hold on to. So since many of us will say, well, you know, I'm pretty much like David. I'm not there. You know, I thank God for the people that work with the AV, because I gave them something during the service. And I said, hey, can you guys put this up on the screen? And so, you know, they got it together and hopefully they got it ready to go. And we just praise the Lord. So, but there's a series of questions that I threw out, and I've given this in a couple areas in the church. But when we talk about integrity, you know, there are some things that we want to, you know, view in certain areas that we want to look at and view integrity. So I'm just going to run through these real quick. So family, all right, you can hold it up there. Family, if we are people of integrity, is there any unresolved conflict between you and your spouse? Handle. Got mighty quiet in here. Handle. Have you neglected your spouse or your family? Have you spent time in prayer and devotion with your spouse and family? Have you spent quality time cultivating your marriage? And have you served your spouse and family? No handle. No handle. See, once again, you know, we can say, well, you know, David put the bar here, and I can reach that bar that David put. Pastor Glaze put it up a little bit higher, all right? So we're giving you something a little bit more to shoot for. Family, moving right on. Work, how about on your job? Are you giving an honest day's work? We talk about being people of integrity. That if you cut me, I'm going to bleed integrity. That I'm given an honest day's work. Have you taken any materials from your job unauthorized? Oh, hallelujah. We'll lighten up on that one a little bit, because, you know, some employers do have that understanding that you can transfer stuff, you know. There's that understanding. So we all right, but what am I talking about? I'm talking about being people of integrity, right? That if your employer was to come to your house and see something from the job, would he or she be all right with that? Would they say, that's cool, that's cool? Or would you be slipping and dodging and running around trying to hide up what, I took that thing from the job. I don't want my boss to see it. All right. What about personal? Is there any unresolved sin in your life? Have you committed any sexual sins? Did you look at someone lustfully? Have you been alone in a compromising situation? Have you been flirtatious? Have you struggled with pornographic, sexually oriented material? We're talking about integrity. You're a person of integrity. Have you been prideful? Have you gossiped? Do you have an angry spirit? Have you been slothful? Have you been greedy? Have you been slanderous? See, what did David say? David said, look at my life. You can look at my life and see that I'm a person of integrity. These things right here, these are characteristics of people of integrity. Next, have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? Like I said last week, it's tax time, right? Tax time is coming up. And it's easy to start to fudge and nibble and all this other kind of stuff, but have you been completely above reproach? Have you been trustworthy? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you cheated? Have you been dishonest or manipulative? Are you a person of integrity? Integrity reviewed. How about your health? Have you taken care of the temple of the Holy Spirit with the proper sleep, rest, exercise, healthy eating, etc.? What about addictions? What about gluttony? What about substance abuse? See, these are things that we begin to look at our lives and we begin to examine our lives and say, where am I at in my walk with Christ? Is there anything that has consumed me? Is there anything, I might not be out here taking drugs, but has food consumed me? Have I let that become, my God? All right. Did I have anything else up there? Is that the last one? Okay. Ministry. Have you shared your faith? I'm getting ready to start this thing on discipleship next week, right? And we're gonna bring it down. What is a disciple of Christ? Have you shared your faith? Are you financially robbing God? People wonder why they have financial problems. One reason is because you're not taking care of business with God. Are you serving God faithfully in the ministry that He has called you to serve in? A person of integrity. Are you faithful to that ministry that God has called you? And have you been faithful in attending the worship services? All right, so I just throw that out there to say integrity reviewed. So we look at integrity examined in verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, we look at integrity reviewed. But let's get to the good part. Let's get to the good part. And that is integrity rewarded. That if we will become people of integrity, God will reward us. What are some of the rewards of integrity? Verse 7, if we are a person of integrity, that we will have the ability to praise God with a pure heart. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, because I'm walking in my integrity, I may make known with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That when I stand up here on Sunday morning and I give praise to God, my praise is connected to the truth. And my praise is connected to my integrity. Connected to the truth, connected to my integrity, and I can praise God. And I can praise Him. But see, it blows me away that, there would be some people that would come and praise on Sunday, right? And they're just out here. You know what I call that? I call that a runaway praise. Because it's not connected to anything. People living out here, living all kind of way, doing all kind of things, then they won't come to church and praise God on Sunday morning. Now, don't stop coming to church, But you better be more mindful about your praise. And say, you know, am I praising? Is my praise connected to my integrity? And is my integrity connected to the truth? See, I remember what Bo Ford said, he said many years when he came. He said, does your walkie-walkie match your talkie-talkie? He said, if your walkie-walkie doesn't match your talkie-talkie, then you need to start talkie-talkie like you walkie-walkie. So, you know, where are you at? Is your praise lining up with your integrity that's grounded in the truth? If it is, boy, when I come to church on Sunday morning, whether I want to raise my hands, whether I want to just sit there in quiet meditation, whether I want to cry, whether I want to laugh, no matter what expression that I have, I know that I can come before God with a pure heart because my praise is connected to my integrity, and my integrity is grounded to the truth. And so when I stand up and praise, boy, you better believe that I'm not up here as a phony. I'm not up here as a shady Grady. I'm up here praising God because I'm connected to the truth. And that's a blessing to be able to come and just know that you can praise God and that you don't have to worry about, you know, all this junk in my life, because I'm a person that's trying to do the right thing and walk the right way. And so God can look down at my praise, and God can, man, just be completely satisfied with the praise that I'm offering up. The first reward of integrity is that ability to praise God with a pure heart. Let me read that again. Verse 7. He says here, that I may make known with what? The voice. Now, notice the two verbs there, right? Voice with the voice, the noun. Voice of thanksgiving and tell. And when, what do those, both of those involve? Both of those involve your mouth. The voice of thanksgiving and tell your wonderful works. Well, how can I do that with a clear conscience and a pure heart if I'm a person of integrity? Now, we know, you know, people that don't know the Lord, you're going to praise him anyways. In the end, everybody's going to praise him. But how much more is it meaningful to us and to God if we can come to God and we can praise him with the voice of thanksgiving, and we can tell of his wonderful works with a heart that's filled with integrity? Oh, man, that's powerful when you think about it. The second thing that we see in this reward of integrity is that we are rewarded with the ability to draw close to God. Psalm 8. David said, because I am a person of integrity. Look what he says in verse 8. Lord, I have loved thy habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Lord, I just love to be in your presence. I love to draw close to you. See, when you're doing the right thing, you don't mind getting close to God. But when you're not, then you want to stay away. You want to stay away from the house. You want to stay away from prayer, from Bible reading. Why? Because all these things are going to come and beat you up. But if you're walking in your integrity, man, you love to draw close to God. You love to be in the presence of God. Because God is not going to beat you down. But he's going to love you. I think I have a slide there. Psalm 15. Can you put that up? I love this psalm. It's in the message. Now, I'll say this right up front, that the message is a paraphrase, okay? It's not a translation. And the message would not be the first. I mean, if you're going to read the Bible, you know, read the Bible, all right? If you got to read the message to read the Bible, then you read the message, all right? I'm saying that. But the message would not be one of the first Bibles that I would read. I think that there are other translations that I would take before the message. But I just thought that this word picture that Eugene Peterson puts forth in the 15th Psalm is just so powerful. And I just put it up here because I want to read it. Listen to this. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? And how do we get on your guest list? Oh, I love it. I love it. Lord, how do I get invited to dinner? And if you get invited to dinner at God's table, then you are in God's what? You are in God's presence. How do I get on your guest list, God, that when you start making up the list to invite people to come to eat at your table and to sit in your presence, how do you decide who gets on that list? I want to be on that list. Put me down. Whenever you start sending out invitations, don't, what else? Savior, Savior, please don't pass me by. Don't pass me by, right? When you start dishing out the invitations, I want to be there. I want to be in your presence. Well, how do you get there? Walk straight, act right, tell the truth, don't hurt your friend, don't blame your neighbor, despise the despicable, keep your word even when it costs you, make an honest living, never take a bribe. And I like that last part. If you live like this, you will never get blacklisted if you live like that. God will never write you off the list. God will never say, okay, when they send out invitations, all right, make sure that Glazer's name was on there. I don't want him at this table. But I want him to say, man, you know, I want to be one of the first ones to get an invitation. And how do you get an invitation? Who gets invited to dinner at God's house? And who gets on his guest list? And you know the next four verses, you know all it's saying? Is a person of integrity. That we know you're already a Christian, right? You've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you can't circumvent or jump over that part. You can't jump over that part. We're talking about you're already there. But how do you get into this intimate fellowship with God? How do you get into this intimate dinner at God's table? Be a person of integrity. And that's all David is saying in Psalm 26. He says, I have loved your habitation of your house and the place where you're honored. Lord, I just love being in your presence. And I'm not going to do anything that would disqualify me by living a life that's not a life of integrity, and that I would be disqualified from getting invited into your presence. Nothing am I going to do. Number three, it says that you will be rewarded with the ability to avoid judgment. Oh, I like that one right there. You will, if you walk in integrity, that you will avoid the ability to be judged. He says in verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. You remember that parable in the New Testament where there was a field of wheat, and the enemy came out at night and put some tares in there? And the servant came back and told the master, he said, while we were asleep, the enemy came and put tares in there with the wheat. How are we going to separate them? And the master said, well, let it grow together. Let them grow together, and in the end, we will separate the wheat and the tare. Well, you know what David is saying? He's saying, don't even bundle me up with the wicked and evil. Don't even tie me up in a bundle with them. Lord, once again, he's not being holier than thou, but he's saying that, Lord, I want you to look at my integrity and see that I'm such a person of integrity that I wouldn't even be bundled up with the wicked, and that when judgment falls on them, Lord, that I would not even be a part of that judgment. What a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Yeah, do you have that desire? Do you desire so much to be walking with God, walking in your integrity, that you would say, God, don't even bundle me up with the wicked. Don't put me in there, Lord. That when your hammer falls and you begin to send forth your hand and arm of judgment, Lord, don't let me be in that bundle. But sad to say, there are some Christians that they're going to be, once again, they're going to be judged, not eternally, because we know that if you are in Jesus Christ, that you do have eternal life. But I believe that to some degree, there will be Christians that will be bundled up in with the unrighteous, and God is going to judge them, whether it's here on this earth or whether it's loss of reward or in eternity. I pray that I would not lose anything that God has for me. Everything that God has for me, I pray that he would provide it and that he would give it to me. Lord, don't let me be bundled up with the ungodly. And then he says, Lord, give me, I know one more thing I wanted to say on that. Remember Louis Armstrong? I think it was Louis Armstrong. I might need somebody to help me out with this. You say, well, I don't know if I'm going to help you because I'd be giving myself away. But I believe it was Louis Armstrong that had the song, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And what David is saying here, he's saying, Lord, don't put me in the number with the ungodly or with the men of blood, but I want to be in a number with the saints. And that when the saints go marching in, that's the number that I want to be in. You will be rewarded with the ability to receive redemption and mercy. Look at verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. There he goes again, back on his integrity again. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful to me. And you know what David's saying here? David is saying that, Lord, when do you need mercy? You know, if I'm lost and I'm in trouble, you know, if I'm dying and on my way to hell, what do I need? I need grace. I need God's grace. But if I'm in trouble, what do I need? I need God's mercy. You know, I'm dealing with this physical thing right now. I don't need grace. I already got grace. I'm already saved. I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost and on my way to heaven. I need mercy. I need mercy. And so as you look at that, you know, you say, Lord, you know, look at my integrity. God, look at my integrity. And Lord, based on my integrity, show me favor. Show me mercy. Show me loving kindness. And you know, it's good to know that, you know, maybe God might have you going through something and your circumstance might not change. But watch, saints, if you don't hear anything else I say, hear this right now. But isn't it good to know that if you ask God to look at your integrity, like David did in verses 1 through 3, and you were going through something, and that thing didn't go away, wouldn't it be good to just know, God, based on my integrity, at least I know one thing, that you're not judging me because of what I'm going through. Because I know that as I examine my life, there's no handle. There's no handle. And so we may have to go back and say like Job, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. We may have to go through and say like Job, he knows the way that I take, and when I'm tried, I'll be brought forth as gold. Only a person of integrity can say that. But if you don't have integrity and something bad comes on you, then you got to be, well, man, now is this because I did this? Or, you know, am I being judged right now? Or is this something, man, maybe I should have, you know, helped that old lady across the street, you know, maybe I should have bought some Girl Scout cookies, you know. And you start thinking about all these other things. Why are you going through what you're going through? But if you're a person of integrity, you're going to say, God, examine me, test me, prove me. Lord, you know. And you can go before God in your integrity. And if nothing else, receive mercy. If he doesn't take it away, you can receive mercy to have strength to keep on keeping on. And number five, you will be redeemed or rewarded with the ability to stand on even ground. Amen. I like what David said. Verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. See, when you are a person of integrity, watch this. You can stand on an even place, right? Now, what if I was to try to stand on this speaker, right? I got to do a what? Balancing act. Why? Because I can't stand on the speaker. This is integrity. I'm standing on firm ground, and I won't slide. This is a person not of integrity. Can't do it. God, help us to be honest Abes and not shady Gradys. Father, we thank you for the 26th Psalm. Powerful teaching. Powerful teaching in the 26th Psalm.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Spread the Wealth Around. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady Part 2. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.